our sales in October, which closed yesterday, were three times what they were a year previous in October. And we've been tracking pretty close to that rate all year long. So we've got tremendous growth. And it's only been able – we're only able to do it because we've grown our distribution base, which is a combination of our dealers and our distributors.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Don DeConstanzo. He's the founder of Pedego Electric Bikes, based here in Irvine, California. I've known Don for several years, and I wonder what's taken me so long to get him on the show today. I'm your host. I'm Frank Peters, my show CDM Cyclist, where I interview people in bicycle advocacy and all things related to riding bicycles. Thanks for joining me once again. So Don, he's got a business that's growing quite rapidly, as he hinted at right there. I wanted you to be able to hear the story firsthand. Let's listen.
And so I went to high school in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Don, in Lowell, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
I lived in North Andover, right on the Lowell border.
And where did you go to school, Don?
I went to school in, well, many different places. From kindergarten to 12th grade, I went to 14 different schools. So where do you want me to start?
Forget it. Forget I asked. Now, what caused you to be such a transient in those delicate years?
My father worked for IBM, and for most people, they would realize that stands for I've Been Moved if they know anything about IBM. So from kindergarten to 12th grade, 14 different schools, mostly on the East Coast. But I was fortunate enough when I was a senior in high school to move to California.
So one more minute, IBM. What specifically did he do for IBM?
He was in the IT department, and he worked on the American Airlines Sabre project, the TWA PARS project, and he was always an IT professional.
That's almost like a, you know, what do they call him, military brat, right? Dad gets moved around in the military. What I've maybe heard from them is they have to make friends fast.
Well, that's exactly true. And not only do you have to learn how to make friends fast, but your family becomes a much tighter social unit. In my case, I had two brothers and two sisters, and we're still very close today. And I attribute that to the fact that when we grew up, we moved to a new neighborhood. It's all we had until we developed a friendship base. So in many of the situations we never had, we didn't live there long enough to get friends. We ended up using our family as friends. Okay. My name is Don DeCostanzo. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Pedego Electric Bikes. I live here in Tustin, California, and enjoying this business immensely.
Don, you and I have known each other for a few years now.
I think we met by accident, if I remember right, Frank. It was at a bike safety meeting in Newport Beach about 3 or 4 years ago, and I attended because I had interest in the cycling community. And you and I became fast friends, I think, and attended different events together. And then most recently, we had a great time in Washington, D.C. last March at the advocacy meeting there.
Yeah, that's right. And we're doing some travel again in just a matter of days. We're both going up to Oakland. What's going on up there?
Well, that's the California Cycling Advocacy meeting, annual meeting. And it's the first time I've attended that. And I'm excited to attend that as well because I found the one in D.C. to be very rewarding.
I've often tried to recall just how we met that first time. But I always remember we must have hit it off pretty well because you started sponsoring. I was just doing a small little group rides then within the city, and you were one of my first sponsors.
That's correct. If I remember right, it was a New Year's Eve day ride that we did, that we launched in Corona del Mar, and you invited the chief of police and asked me if I would bring a bike for him. Yes. And I was happy to do that, and we had a great ride that day, and I think that's when you and I first really got to connect.
Yeah, right. Now, Don, let's jump all the way to the immediate time now. You just did an around-the-world tour for business. Let's dive into that. What was that all about?
Well, we've been expanding Pedego all over the world, and I had the very fortunate opportunity to go to the grand opening of our Pedego store in Kailua, Hawaii. And we also had about the same time was a Australian bike show called Ausbike. And then I promised our new distributor in South Africa that I would visit him at some point in time. So I decided that that would be around the world trip. Once I left Hawaii and went to Australia, I was then in the Southern Hemisphere, and it looked like on a map like a fairly close airplane ride from Melbourne to Johannesburg, but in reality, I had to go to Singapore and on to Mumbai in order to get back down there. So I spent about 80 hours in an airplane seat over that two-week period.
So in a nutshell, you're opening up new territories to sell the electric bike.
Yeah, exactly. We've been very fortunate in that there's been worldwide interest in our bikes. And we started out with a European distributor in 2010. We opened a Russian distributor in 2011, as we did a Canadian distributor and a distributor in New Zealand. We've since added an Australia distributor in for South Africa. And most recently on this trip, on the last stop on my trip, I stopped in Dubai and was setting up a distributor there for the Middle East.
So now these distributors, to some extent, are different the way you're like expanding in the United States. Like, you're not giving away big chunks of real estate to distributors, are you?
Well, it depends what your definition of big chunks of real estate. I'd say probably yes. The challenge that we have, and even Hawaii is a distributor, because of freight issues and having inventory available and the expediency of getting product. We find that we're much better off to have a distributor where the containers get shipped directly from our factory to Hawaii, to Canada, to Australia, to any of these other distributors. And they basically act as we function here in the U.S. In the U.S., we function as the actual distributor to the dealers. In the other countries, they function as the distributor to the dealers themselves. So it's actually working out really well.
All right. So can you size the company for us, Don? You're private. You're not public. How has it grown? How do you size it?
Well, you know, when you start out in any new business, you start off with the concept. And the concept was to build an electric bike for me, for my demographic, for the aging baby boomer and their significant other.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, because you're the same age as I am, Frank. You might be even a year or two younger than me.
Older.
Yeah, but age is a state of mind anyway, right. So it really doesn't matter. But we designed the bikes for that category. We sold about 500 bikes in 2009. That was the starting year, and that was more of the proof of concept year. We had a year that was the concept, which 2008. 2009 was proof of concept, would people buy? And then from then on, it became a scaling attitude. Our attitude, if we could sell 400 or 500, we could sell 5,000 or maybe 50,000 someday. And we're getting closer to the 50,000 number than we are the 500 number at this time. And we're growing at a fairly good clip. Our sales in October, which closed yesterday, were three times what they were a year previous in October. And we've been tracking pretty close to that rate all year long. So we've got tremendous growth. And we're only able to do it because we've grown our distribution base, which is a combination of our dealers and our distributors.
Mm-hmm. So three times last year's volume in just a year, huh? That's great news. It must make you nervous, though, too. I mean, you got to grow all your infrastructure, your management team, your relationship with your bank has grown three times, too. What are the challenges with that kind of rapid growth, Don?
Well, the things you mentioned, Frank, but for us, it's actually pretty easy. In my previous life, I ran a $250 million a year company. So running a company of this size is actually relatively easy for me. But it is correct, having the correct infrastructure and the right people. We've been very fortunate and we found a lot of the right people very early. And I've always believed in hiring the best and the brightest. And you pay a little bit more for that, but in the long run, it pays off.
Mm-hmm. So you forecast continuing that kind of a breakneck growth rate, Don?
Well, last year we said no because we had the similar growth the year before. So the general answer is we don't want to grow too quickly. And despite our best efforts not to grow so quickly, we still did. One of the challenges we had this year was inventory. Our hottest products were not readily available instantaneously. There was some wait as long as 30 or 45 days to get some of our hottest product. But I bought a Tesla, and I ordered it in November, and it was delivered to me in June, and I was willing to wait for it. So far, we've found customers reasonably patient to wait when we have a hot product that's been delayed. To ward that off in the future, we're beefing up our inventory to accommodate the faster growth that we're experiencing.
How are you funding the company, Don?
It's all funded internally. We're positive cash flow. We're very strict on how we manage our receivables, and we keep a very close watch on it. So we're cash flow positive. We have, and if necessary, we have access to more capital.
you're a member of the Tech Coast Angels here in Orange County.
Correct. I joined about a year ago to learn more about investing in other entrepreneurs. I'm constantly intrigued by the entrepreneur business, and I joined. And unfortunately, I haven't had a whole lot of time to attend a lot of the meetings.
You're too busy.
Well, yeah, this business itself consumes me pretty much 7 days a week, but it's a labor of love for me because it's not work for me. There's really nothing I'd rather be doing.
When you see those entrepreneurs come into Tech Coast Angels, being an entrepreneur yourself, it'd be natural to make some comparisons or to judge them. What are some of the yardsticks that come to mind as you look at these pitches that come in the door?
Well, the number one thing is I look for passion in the folks that are make their presentations. Are they truly passionate about it? Do they really believe in it? And you really can't fake that. So often I see entrepreneurs are only in it for the money, and I think that's the biggest mistake in entrepreneurship, to be chasing the money. Sure. I think if you do a great job delivering a great product and delighting your customers, the money comes. It's not, it shouldn't be the goal. It should just be the measuring stick. So the second thing I look at is, do they have a reasonable expectation of how they're going to grow the business? I've seen so many hockey stick projections where they're going to do 100 this year, but next year they're going to do 10,000. A year later, they're going to do 1,000,000. And I just don't understand how that I've been involved in lots of business with very good growth, but those kind of hockey stick projections to me are almost always a telltale sign for me of a pie in the sky. And I don't walk away from investments like that I run.
Pedego, electric bikes, a consumer product. Does that make you more inclined or pay more attention to some of the consumer product deals that you see coming into Tech Coast Angels?
Well, you know, the electric bikes is an interesting category because there's no box to check. When we fill out a form for any type of thing, there is always a box you fit into, and it's hard. I mean, the closest we come to is sports and recreation. We're obviously a consumer product. We're in the bicycle category, I suppose. But most of the people who buy an electric bike would have never bought another bike in their lifetime. You're the exception. But 95% of our customers are done with cycling. So while we are consumer products, and I've been involved in other consumer products company, I don't usually check the box consumer products company because I think we're more a sports and recreation company.
You get a great demographic anyway, right? Aging baby boomers. When you sell one bike, it's really like selling two bikes, right? A lot of husband and wife.
We say all the time that we sell these bikes in pairs, but one at a time. Usually a wife or a husband will get the idea of an electric bike. The other one will think it's a crazy idea. One will push forward and get one. And then within a few weeks, usually the second person gets it because they find it's no fun riding it with somebody that has an electric bike. It's not fun for either party. The person who has the non-electric bike can't keep up. And the person with the electric bike is constantly waiting for the person who can't keep up. So ultimately, they usually get a second one. But we had a family. I was just told this morning we had a guy who's bought his 9th Pedego bike.
He doesn't have 8 wives.
No, he bought 2 for his house in Huntington Beach, and then he bought 2 more for his house in the desert. And then he found his friends came out and visited, and they didn't have bikes for them, so he bought 4 more, 2 for his house in Huntington and 2 more for that. And this morning he came into one of our stores and discovered the Trail Tracker and decided he'd have one of those, just to have one of those to ride around on. So he ordered his 9th.
Yeah, he's got an odd number now, huh? So let's talk about the Trail Tracker for a minute, because I heard you say once it was kind of a surprise how the market responded to the Trail Tracker.
A total surprise to us. It also changed our demographics radically. In the beginning of the company, we built cruiser bikes, and we were very clear and specific. We knew that we had a 56-year-old male and a 55-year-old female. Those were the mean buyers, and the range for men was 16 to 95, and the range for women, though, was much tighter. It was more 45 to 65, but the higher percentage of bikes we sold were being sold to women, about 70%. The Trail Tracker changed all the dynamics because we found it's appealing to a much younger as agreed, and both men and women are buying the Trail Tracker, which really surprised us. We came out with kind of a novelty or a halo bike to use because we had a distributor in Costa Rica that needed bikes to ride off-road and on the unpaved roads that they have down there, and we had an opportunity to do eco tours in Huntington Beach. So we thought, well, a fat tire bike would suit that. Let's build a fat tire bike for that market. And we built, I think, 50 of them. And they were gone as soon as we, before they arrived. And since then, we're out of them again right now. It's been another really huge seller market for us that we had no idea that it would have that much demand.
You're kind of a lousy forecaster, aren't you, Don?
A terrible forecaster. Fortunately, it's not a big risk to take the in to bring them into inventory because we know we sell them. It's just a question of when.
Yeah. And what is it? It's something kind of visceral. I love that word. Somebody sees it and they love it. They have to have it right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's I call it the Hummer of electric bikes, but it's a lot of fun to ride off-road on trails. If you're riding along a paved path, that's great. But if you see a dirt path, as you often do off regular paved trails, there's always this opportunity to go out and explore. And it's really a kick in the pants to ride on these off-road trails.
Obviously, the market is responding. Now, going back to Tech Coast Angels, I'm a software guy. So when I see opportunity come in, entrepreneurs present, I'm quickly putting them – it's human nature. I quickly put them in a box. And oftentimes if I had looked at Pedego, if Pedego had come in, I would say, oh, a retail box is what I would have put you in. They've got to open lots of retail stores. And to me, I wouldn't be excited about that. But you're breaking the mold there because – the retail model that you have is really a great asset, and it's kind of different. Let's get into that, Don. How would you describe your retail stores?
Well, in the beginning, we sought out bicycle stores, and we had some of the best bicycles, traditional bicycle stores, willing to take on our product line and work with as partners. What we discovered was that they were really not a suitable environment for selling electric bikes. Most of them did not accept them. Even if the owner accepted them, the people who worked there did not accept them because they were hardcore cyclists. They're competitive cyclists. I respect that. And this is not something they would ride. So it's pretty hard to tell a 24-year-old guy who maybe never even owned a car in his life and he rides all weekend that somebody needs to have a motor to get on their bicycle. When they get to be 50, I'll ask him a different question. But so we were challenged by that. And then we found a group of specialty bicycle stores that specialize in electric bikes. And we've got, again, some of the best ones. And actually, some of them still do a very good job. The problem is there aren't very many of them. And we really didn't have a business model around them because there weren't enough of them and they weren't growing. We found, though, that there was an interest for a lot more people to open up these independent shops. But many of them had little business experience and most of them had no bicycle experience whatsoever. So we began to develop the Pedego store. And we now have 26 that are open, and I think there's about another 20 in development right now that will be opening over the next 6 months. And we're opening them all over the place. We're opening them in Canada. We're opening the first one in Cape Town, South Africa on December the 1st. We're opening several in Europe, the first one being in Italy, which is, I believe, opening this month.
How will they pronounce it?
That's an interesting question. Everybody pronounces Pedego. The name Pedego was created by us, and it basically is pedal, add a little bit of E, and then you go. So it's Pedego. Pedego. In lots of countries, they decide to call it Pedego. But in Italy, they call it Pedego. They almost sing it and they say Pedego and they think it has Italian heritage. Fortunately for me, that's a good thing because my last name is Di Costanzo and it's Italian. So having the O on the end generally means it's Italian.
Yeah, so you play along with the customer there, sure, the retailers. Now, so your style of retail stores then, they're branded Pedego. Makes me think of like Apple proved that whole concept, right? In some ways, that's a nice comparison, huh?
Well, Frank, that's the highest compliment you can pay us because, in fact, we do resemble Apple in a lot of ways. Out on the showroom floor are all the products, much like you'd go to an Apple store. And on the walls are all the accessories made by other vendors. And we follow that exact same model because it works. We can put slat wall up in the store. We can put a nice flooring down there and display the bikes and have an Apple-esque type environment, and that has been part of the secret to our success is having that standard out there. But more importantly, it's having the entrepreneur in there that runs the store. In the case of an Apple store, they have Apple employees, and you know they've got the techno smart kids that run it and all that, and they've got all their strict structure. In our case, we're dealing with a much more mature clientele, and we like the idea that entrepreneurs are running these stores. And in every case, we have entrepreneurs running them. Everything from age 45. Our oldest dealer is 68 years old, and he's actually one of our most successful dealers.
So people approach you. Word of the electric bikes get around. They know you're opening up all these stores. When entrepreneurs approach you, they may not have any bicycle sales experience. What do you look for? What's going to cause them to get checked off as a pedago dealer?
Number one and most important is, have they ridden the bike? Yeah. If they haven't ridden the bike, we don't have any further discussion. Yeah. So we require them to ride a bike and to take a good long ride on a bike before they do it. Fortunately, we have not done any advertising. Every one of our dealers has come as a result of them visiting one of our stores and either renting or purchasing a pedago, most of them purchasing. Our distributor in South Africa came over here on vacation and rented a tandem in Newport Beach, rode it, loved it. Decided that he wanted to take it home with him, or made arrangements through us to ship it to South Africa, which we did. Got there. Everybody loved it. Nobody else was selling electric bikes in South Africa. He's a serial entrepreneur, has many other businesses, and this is the business he loves and spends all his time with. So that was a perfect case where the customer first gets to know the product and then they decide this is a good opportunity.
It's that passion you were talking about earlier.
It's the magic formula.
Sure. So, Don, you talked about some before pedago. You've done some interesting things. Bring us back. Tell me a little bit about your business background prior to pedago, please.
Well, I graduated from Cal State Fullerton in 1979, and I moved across the street, as I say, because at that time, Wins, a worldwide company, was headquartered there, and I had an opportunity to enter that company in a sales capacity. And once I was there, I knew I wanted to run that company someday. In fact, I told the president there, his name was Joe Borello, that I asked him after about 3 months of working there when he planned to retire. Oh. And he said, "That's kind of an odd question. Why would you ask me that?" I said, "Well, I want your job, but I don't want to rush you out." And he chuckled and he said, "Well, you know, I'm 55. I plan to work at least another 10 years. He says, "If you want, I'll help you become the president."
That was a nice response he had. And what kind of business was Wins?
Automotive chemical company. They supplied automotive chemicals and equipment worldwide. And they had a distribution base very similar to what we're building with pedago. So after a number of years with Wins, I rose up of 20-some-odd years. I became the president. It took me a little longer than that. It took me about 20 years to get there. And I discovered really quickly that it was a fabulous job. The only challenge was Parker Hannifin, a large industrial company, acquired us, and we were a very entrepreneurial company, and they were not. And so the two didn't mix too well. So after spending about 3 years decided there, we both decided it was time for me to move on, and that's when I really launched out to become an entrepreneur.
And many entrepreneurs aren't successful the first time they strike out on their own. What was it like for you?
Well, I can't say that. I acquired a company in near bankruptcy, a company much like Wins, only much smaller. And I acquired them for asset value and turned that around from a $1 million a year company to about $20 million in sales over a 7-year period. It was called Zach Products. And that was a very, very great experience and adventure for me to do that. But it was based in Texas, and it really required me to move to Texas to continue to its growth. And I had no desire to do that. I've fallen in love with California and decided this is where I want to live.
And you had traveled enough as a kid.
Yeah, plenty of times. And I didn't want to relocate my family again. So I sold out that business to my partners at the time, and decided what was I going to do with the next chapter of my life. And at about the same time, I got the idea of the electric bike business.
Any young person here working at pedago come up to you with that same kind of comment? "When are you retiring? I want to take over the company."
Not yet, but I hope they do.
Very good. Very good. Well, Don, we've talked about many things. You're running a successful business. You're increasingly getting involved as an angel investor. And as soon as next week, just a few days from now, you're going to bicycle advocacy. That's a lot of different directions. How do you plan on balancing all those many interests?
Well, that's a good question, Frank. Every day I wake up with new business ideas that I want to pursue. I've started a few other businesses on the side that I don't have the time to pay attention to. The thing that I've learned probably in the last 5 or 6 years is to stay focused on one and pick the one that you like the most, that you enjoy being in the most, and work on that one rather than working on multiple ones.
And that's the electric bike.
No question about it. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the electric bike business. It's so much fun. It's such a great opportunity to go out there and expose folks to this product where I don't know what they could buy today for any amount of money, whether it's a dollar or $1 million, that would give them as much fun as riding a bike. And if somebody knows what that is, please let me know, because I'll probably want to buy one. But I don't know what it is you can spend. And for a few $1,000s, a lot less expensive than any motorcycle you could buy, certainly, and a lot less expensive than a fancy car, you can have hours and hours of fun riding an electric bike, and it doesn't cost anything. My daughter says it the best. She commutes to work every day on her Pedego. She works in Santa Barbara, and the company there pays them $100 a month not to drive a car to work, because it cost them $120 for parking. So they save $20, and they've got a fleet of 50 bikes lined up, and she gets the number one spot because she's got the coolest bike, being a Pedego. So the thrill that I have, where my family gets it, my friends all ride the bikes, and I get to go out and travel around the world and kind of spread the word about how cool these electric bikes are. And most of the places I go, we spend a lot of our time just out riding the bikes for the fun of it.
Well, that's a nice way to grow the business, Don. Is going to continue to grow, can we say, organically like that? Is that how it's growing?
Well, you know, that's something we wrestle with here. We're at a comfortable size right now. We're cash flow positive. We're profitable. We could not grow a bit, but the opportunity is too great for us to ignore that opportunity. And we would be delinquent if we didn't seize the opportunity. And we're fortunate we're building a brand all over the world where, don't tell our competitors, but they haven't figured out that this is the opportunity is worldwide. Many are specific countries. They do an adequate job in certain countries, but nobody's got the same goal and vision we have, which is to build a worldwide brand.
It's an exciting story, Don, and you're executing amazingly well. Tempting to say just about everything you turn your hand to turns out pretty well.
Oh, no, Frank, we make a lot of mistakes. In fact, I was – just before you arrived, I was figuring out what I was going to do with the last thing we tried. The thing that we're not afraid to do is to try new things. And we've been very fortunate. Each product we've come out with has been a huge hit. I failed to mention our city commuter bike, which is the model you have. That's actually our best seller. We started out with a cruiser bike, and it was very successful. We built our name on cruiser bikes. Then we came out with the commuter series for people who want to move a traditional bike and didn't want a cruiser for whatever reason. And as we went out with the trail tracker, we found that to be a home run. We struggled a little bit with our trike, our three-wheel vehicle, in that we were trying to build them here in the U.S., and that hasn't turned out so well. It's been an ongoing challenge getting parts and the labor, and it ends up we've got a great product, but it costs us more to build than we can sell it for. So that doesn't make for a good business model. So most of what we do is trial and error, but on a small scale. We've beefed up our engineering department, where we're getting much better at the product that we do, and I can say that today I'm very proud of the product we build. A couple of years ago, we had to make some excuses. Today, we make a no-excuse product.
Well, it's a great product, Don, and I enjoy it. I ride mine every day. I often say, for me, it's a super utility bike. Can I call it that? It helps me run all my errands.
The most important part about it is, though, Frank, that you're having fun. And what I can see is I can see you riding up Newport Coast Drive with a smile on your face. And I guarantee you, if you're riding up on even your fanciest of carbon fiber bikes, you wouldn't be smiling as you're riding up Newport Coast.
Just thinking about riding up there, yeah, wipes the smile off my face. Well, Don, you've got an exciting company here. It's fun to get to observe the success you're enjoying, and I wish you continued good luck.
Thank you very much, Frank, and thank you for taking the time to interview me.
You bet, Don. Alrighty. Bye-bye. Well, we're back in the studio, and before I say goodbye, I'd like to invite you to come by the website, cdmcyclist.com, where you can leave a comment behind, hit that PayPal donate button while you're at it, and of course, got many other interviews with other interesting characters like Don. Check them out, please. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening, and good day.